And you don't have to be a hermit or a yogi to do it. Now, the ordinary busy life, we all know what it's like. I got up a couple of weeks ago. I made the coffee. I poured my first cup. I rushed to get my email. I fought with the computer. There's almost nothing worse than a computer that turns against you, is there? There's just something, unbelievable. And so I rush back to get my second cup of coffee. The coffee pot is gone. I can't believe it. I'm thinking, who was so desperate that they came in here and stole my coffee pot? How could that have happened? And then I start to ask my secretary, have you seen the coffee pot? This is when you know you've lost it. You've gone over the edge. Finally, she comes into the kitchen to help. She opens the cabinets, and I have actually put it back in the cabinet with the mugs. This is a cue. This is when you say, I'd better take some time out to retrench here and make another plan. I better do a little bit of deep breathing. I better step back. I better find my peaceful center before there's a wake of trouble that follows me. And that's what happens often, isn't it true? We get so busy that we misplace the coffee pot, or we have no time to listen to our loved ones. I think that's the very worst. Some of you here have probably heard the term compassion fatigue. It often happens to people who are in service kinds of jobs. And they're there because they care about people. They love people. They want them to be healthy, to be happy, just like we do with our families. But we get so busy that we end up thinking, I don't have time to listen to you. And suddenly the very people that we love the most and want to serve the most end up being pains in the butt. That's the really, really difficult thing. And once again, I had an awareness that this happens in my life, too. My husband, Kurt, is sitting over there, the one who looks like Albert Einstein. Kurt and I went to an antique store. I wanted a little stand because I have this beautiful statue of Kuan Yin, who's the Chinese Bodhisattva of compassion. So you look at her and you're supposed to think, I could be peaceful. My nature is kindness. And in the store, there was a really pretty stand, and it was made of lemon wood, which, being a thin tree, is irregular. And every one of the legs was actually a different color. It had an interesting history. And the man was telling us about the history and telling us about the history. And my inner dialogue is going something like, God, I wish he'd shut up. I just want to get out of here. I have to go back to the house. I have things to do. I have books to sort. I have reports to write. I have things to do. And then he says, the person who brought this stand in for sale, I know it has a wonderful story behind it. I'll have her give you a call. And I'm thinking, no, no, 1,000 times no. And at the same time, a piece of me is saying, isn't this what I really long for? Isn't this what I'm missing? The sense of community? The sense that somebody will call you up and tell you the story of an antique? And once again, I thought, got to do something to help myself and help other people, because the world is so busy that what we long for to fill our hearts, to fill the sense of emptiness we have when we get so lonesome because we're so busy. Well, what can you do? We have to make time for it. Now, I have good news about taking the time to relax. When I used to run the Mind-Body Clinic, some of you actually know where that clinic was. It was at actually two different Harvard teaching hospitals. People would come in and they would say, learn to relax? If I learn to relax, I'll never get the to-do list done. I will lose my edge and I will turn into a slob. a sloth. And nothing could be further from the truth. Turns out that learning to relax can make you more efficient. And I'm going to demonstrate how stress affects productivity. Because you've all had the experience where a deadline is looming, and suddenly you're removed from slothhood, and you can produce incredible amounts. I've had that so many times writing a report, and I always think, thank God for deadlines, because they make me do miracles. Suddenly they take dissipated energy, and it makes you coherent and focused. So you got to pretend that I'm a piece of graph paper. Can you do that? And here is the x-axis, and here is the y-axis. A bell-shaped curve shows you as you start to get more and more stressed, you start to get more and more productive here at the top of the curve. But when panic sets in, you slide right off the other end. And those are the days at the office when you walk around with a pile of papers in your hand looking dazed. And you say to everybody, have you seen my work? Have you seen my work? And of course, that's what happens when we get too busy. We lose our efficiency. And yet, that's how we're expected in our society to be able to work, to keep up that pace all the time. Now, the amazing thing is, many of us are working somewhere near the top of the curve, but we are over the edge. And when you're over the edge, physiologically, what happens is you're getting burned out. You're using your adrenal glands, you're pumping yourself full of adrenaline, your eyes are red, your lips are cracked, your tongue is parched as you're racing to the finish line. And what's happening to you, actually, is that all of that adrenaline and also cortisone truly is burning out your body. It burns out your immune system. It stresses your heart. And then you find, gee, I've lost my health to this chronic state of busyness. The good news is that you can learn to shift back from that descending limb of this Yerkes-Dodson curve, as it's called, to the front part of the curve, where you're getting just as much done, but you're not burning out your body. In fact, you're energizing yourself. As you all know what that feeling is when you feel like I'm in the zone, I'm centered, I'm on target, all systems are go, but you feel thrilled by life, inspired by life, almost as if inspiration were coming from some larger source. And that's when you look at whatever you've created and you go, wow, where did that come from? Did I actually do that? That happens to me sometimes when I write. I can't believe it, that these ideas came out of me. So I figure they really didn't. They really came through me. But the reason they were able to come through me is I got out of that stress zone where you really are. You might create, boy, but it's taken every last mitochondria in your cell to accomplish this. And I've shifted myself to that place that, oh, some people call their center. And that's the state of inner peace. That's the state we're looking for. That's the state, too, when we feel so joyful and so connected to life. And that's the state when the guy in the antique store says, let me tell you a story about this. And you go, wow, I'd love to hear your story. So that's what we're really, really aiming for. And that's why a little bit of relaxation can make you a lot more productive and help you last in the long run. Now, one of the keys to relaxation is breathing. When we're tense, what happens is that you tend to breathe from your chest. You lock up your diaphragm, which is the main muscle of breathing. And chest breathing actually elevates your heart rate, and it makes you feel anxious. So how many times, I wonder, during the day, do you yawn or sigh?